Our sermon reading this afternoon comes from Hebrews chapter 10. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, "This is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." Then he adds, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more." And where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The word of the Lord. The bowl filled with blood trembled in his hands. Great drops of sweat were leached from his skin by the stuffiness of the incense-filled room and the weight of the woolen ceremonial clothes. Little bells hung from the bottom of his robes that jingled as he tried to scratch the itch that was on his heel that was caused by the rope that was tied around his leg. Bells meant to confirm that he was alive. A rope, just in case he wasn't. With a gulp, the high priest gathered himself for a moment, staring at the ornate curtain that hung there like a sentinel, separating him from what he knew was on the other side. It was there unmoving, unyielding, undisturbed, save but one time a year, the day when man would meet with God, the day when sinner would meet with the Almighty. A day that should have ended in death if it weren't for the bodies and the blood. This high priest was only one part of a larger liturgical dance commonly referred to as the Day of Atonement. From that curtain that separated the high priest from the most holy place came an echo that would ripple through the entire community. This far and no further. Only the high priest can be in the holy of holies. Only the priests can be in the holy place. Only the Jewish men can be in the inner courts. Only the Jewish women in the women's courts. And the foreigners had to be in the Gentile courts. Which, with each place, with each court, the people either got closer or further away from the presence of God based on their vocation and their purity. And yet, no matter how hard they all tried, they couldn't be in that most holy place except for one man. And even he, one time a year. And yet it was never enough. Every year this ceremony had to be repeated. Every year there had to be preparation. The people had to be washed. Their garments had to be cleaned. The altar and utensils, the priests and their garments, even the people had to be drenched in blood, purified not by soap or scrubbing, but by animals sacrificed in their place. And yet, no matter what animal was sacrificed, no matter how much blood was spilt or sprinkled or splattered, it was never enough. But the message was clear. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Without the shedding of blood, mankind cannot approach God. But here's the problem. The blood of beasts never binds. You need something better to part the curtain. So with a long sigh, the priest walks through the veil and goes about the duty assigned to him by God himself, his role in the Old Covenant. The Old Covenant, which was a promise made by God on Mount Sinai, hundreds of miles away, hundreds of years before, a promise that God would be the God for the people of Israel, and the people of Israel would be God's chosen people. But there was a condition. They must remain faithful. They must perform the sacrifices. They must obey the commands and follow the laws. And if they did, they'd be blessed beyond measure. But if not, the fate of the beasts on the altar would be their fate too. This was the contract. This was the covenant, a covenant which, just like the blood of the beasts, would never bind. It would never last, because just as soon as the people of Israel got the promises of God, well, they went the way of the world, and they rebelled. And when God had finally had enough and stayed true to his word that if they abandoned him, he would abandon them, the old covenant given to Moses, the covenant based on blessing and inheritance, prosperity and perfection, it was over. They needed something better to part the curtain. The bowl of blood trembled in his hands. Great drops of sweat leached from his skin by the stuffiness of the upper room and the weight of what he knew was waiting for him in the garden. The utensils clanked against the table as their users put them down quickly and craned their necks to look at the head of the table, at the author and giver of life, to the one who was about to give his life for theirs. With a gulp, the great high priest took a moment and gathered himself, terrorized by the sinful curtain that separated him from his disciples. Unyielding, unmoving, undisturbed since the first sin, since mankind fell. And there it hung every day since. Every day that should have meant death, if it weren't for his body and his blood. The preparations had been made, the washing done. Now all that was left was the sacrifice. Take and eat. This is my body. Take and drink. This is my blood. A body and blood better than any body and blood of a beast that cries out with wordless groans. A body and blood that's better than the blood of Abel, son of Adam, who cried out for vengeance and justice as his brother murdered him. A body and blood better than the blood of the prophets of the Lord that was slain in the holy city, that cried out with laments and despair as it flowed through Jerusalem's streets. No, this body and blood was the body and blood of the perfect, innocent lamb without blemish or wrinkle or defect. A body and blood given and poured out once for all for you. A new covenant, a better covenant, the covenant needed to get through the curtain. In a few moments, you're going to walk through the curtain, parted by this new covenant, and not only be able, but even welcomed and encouraged to approach God. So I encourage you on this Maundy Thursday, before you approach God, to just consider what it means to approach God. Consider what you're about to do. Consider what you're about to receive at the Lord's Supper. And so I encourage you to think about it with this question. When you take the Lord's Supper, what goes through your mind? Do you recognize the supper for what it is? An approaching of the Lord? A reception of God's body and blood? Or has it become to you nothing more than a symbol? A nice ritual, but something that we might even get irritated at if it takes too long. When you receive the Lord's Supper, do you recognize what's happening in this room? Do you realize that this place is now the Holy of Holies? That this is the place where sinners ought to have the bells around the hems of their garments just to make sure that you're still alive, and the rope around your ankle just in case they need to drag the body out? Do we give the Lord's Supper the reverence it deserves? Or have we forgotten who we are and flippantly approached God? Have we forgotten what we've done and casually received the body and blood of God? Have we forgotten what we deserve so that we treat this new covenant like old news? Dear friends, God awaits. So how will you approach him? All of you. Do you recognize the supper for what it really is? An approaching of the Lord, a reception of God's body and blood with your fellow members of the body of Christ? Or has standing next to your fellow members of faith become a nice ritual thing, a symbolic thing, but something that you'll get irritated at if you don't know who they are, or if you don't like them, or don't care to know their name? When you take the Lord's Supper, do you recognize who you're standing next to? You're standing next to God's children. The beloved of the Almighty, these are the ones that God has chosen from time and eternity to stand next to you, to be with you as you walk through the curtain. Have we forgotten who we are and what's been done for them that we so flippantly talk about each other or even to each other? Have we forgotten what we deserve, that we treat these brothers and sisters in Christ as foreigners and strangers? Have we forgotten what's been done for them? That we had casually acknowledged them and nothing more? Dear friends, God awaits. And so how will you approach him? Together. When you receive the Lord's Supper, you are finding communion with two different parties, you and God, and you and each other. And whether you are aware of it or not, whether it feels like it or not, whether it looks like it or not, you can never be closer with somebody than you can in the Lord's Supper. Because the world might look for God in all sorts of places, in nature and in emotion, but they're sadly mistaken, because if you want to find God in the forest or your feelings, you're never going to find him. The only way to find God is behind the curtain, in the proclamation of the forgiveness of sins, in the new covenant received and believed by faith. And these promises are only given to you through God's means of grace, through the gospel in word and sacrament. It is in these means of grace that your adoption papers into God's family were first signed in baptism. It is through these means of grace that you participate in the family meal as you receive the Lord's Supper. It is in these means of grace that you hear the words from your heavenly Father, I love you, over and over and over again. And in the same way, though the world might search for brothers and sisters, for fellow friends and companions in nature or in emotions, they are sadly mistaken. Because if you're looking for the children of God, you are never going to find them in relationships or in reunions. You're only going to find them behind the curtain, in the forgiveness of sins that we have for each other, in our new covenant given to us by Jesus that's received and believed by faith. And it is this relationship that we find only in the means of grace, in his word and sacraments. It's in these means of grace that we were baptized in the same name, into the same family. It's through these means of grace that we participate in the same family meal. And it's in these means of grace that you get to hear our Father say to all of us together over and over and over again, I love you. Today, in this church, you will participate in something that's bigger than you, that involves more than just you. Consider those who sit around you for a moment, and consider those who will be standing next to you at the communion rail. Can you find someone who is closer to you in confession, closer to you in belief? They recognize the same Lord, recognize the same body and blood of Christ in the sacrament. This new covenant in Jesus' blood is our new covenant. So let's walk through the curtain together with confidence. Confidence in our living Lord, our great high priest who's opened the way for us, a new and living way. For we have been washed together in baptism. We have a place at the Lord's table together, and we have a home together in the new heavens and the new earth. So let's never give up meeting together, for what united family avoids each other. Let's never give up encouraging each other, for what motivated family lets someone fall behind. And let's never give up loving each other, for what devoted family stops following the example of their Heavenly Father. Instead, let's be a family that's united. United in confession, united in action, and united in passion. Jesus' passion. For in the giving and the pouring out of his body and blood, there is no longer any need for us to have the life-signaling bells on the hems of our clothes or the rope around our ankle just in case we collapse. No, there's no longer any need for the ceremonial clothes or the animal sacrifices or anything from that old covenant. It's all been completed. We have a new covenant. That which was done for us, given and poured out for us, was done so that we would no longer have any fear, that be no longer any separation, no longer any condemnation, not between us and God or us and each other. Dear friends, pass through the curtain with confidence and come to the table, for we're all here. Your Heavenly Father, His Son, and His Spirit, as well as your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And let me tell you, that's not a meal you're going to want to miss. Amen.